You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley! And he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got
him. Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the DC Crossover. I'm Ben Simpson. That is Mike Cerrone, and we are glad to be back. It is a day later than usual. I know we usually drop our episodes on Monday evenings, but we're busy gentlemen. I've also been sick. I got the big COVID. I
got the vid.
It hit our household pretty hard because you get it through. My daughter goes to daycare, so she got it first. Then it went to my wife, Abby, and then it hit me on Thursday last week. And not fun. I mean, it lived up to the hype. I made it through 2 years without getting it, and then I finally got it, and it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was sucky. It was not fun, but we are back in action here today, and as we continue the off-season episodes, we do remind you to check out the social media accounts at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16, both on Twitter, and follow the TikTok at DC Crossover Podcast is the talk. And then also check out the other podcast, Bird's Eye View with Erica McCall. Episodes drop every Wednesday morning. We're in season 2 of that. I believe we're on episode 4 coming this week. Last week was the episode with her agent, Mike Count. That was awesome. This week we got Sierra Burke. It might even just be Sierra Burke. It's Burke or Burkhart. You'll see it for yourselves. Again, I'm fighting off COVID right now, so my brain's not fully there. Check out Bird's Eye View for sure. And hey, if you want to download the Contender app, waste of a download. as I welcome in my partner Mike, and so I did get the vid, and you've gotten it. You got it once, right?
No.
Oh, man. I could have sworn you
had
gotten it. Oh, that's ridiculous.
I feel like a pest control guy that literally has like a shield and is just fighting off COVID everywhere. Because obviously in my job, there's COVID surrounding
everybody.
Yeah,
it's a petri dish.
In my school, they have literally probably, I think over the last 2 months, they probably had 40 cases.
Right.
Your boy. Money immune system.
That's unbelievable.
My girlfriend was with her the night before, obviously, and she got COVID the next day. Money. Negativo for your boy
that
over here.
That is
every single time.
Unbelievable.
Feeling great.
Wow. Because, like, I avoided it for a long time, and I thought I was in the clear. And then that's the thing, though. Being around kids, kids will do it. I mean, that's what happens. Oh, yeah. Kids get it. And I feel like it's going around everywhere. And, you know, we're not going to talk too much about it because everyone's been talking about COVID for 2 years. So it's not like it's that interesting. But still, I am hopefully on the mend here. I'm back in action. And we got a lot going on this episode. We are going to do our first draft of the offseason. We're going to be hitting up the Disney Pixar draft. And we'll clarify what that means when it gets to draft time. But besides that, Mike, I did want to, before we get into our rewind and stuff, and because it's a little more casual show, we kind of talk about whatever, I did want to see if you've seen a little bit about the recent golf news with Dustin Johnson, Kevin Na, you had, you know,
Graham McDowell.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of basically, and I'm gonna go right off what you're saying here.
I already know
exactly what you're leading into. So the LIV Tour, the LIV Tour, or whatever they want to call it. Now I'm not, you know, so, you know, I don't know, perplexed in all these different words you want to say about this tour. Now I don't really care about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we're not going to get into like the politics side of it
on this show
because Mike and I aren't the guys to do that. But but as far as from a purely sports level, I think it's pretty interesting about, you know, with these names that are leaving.
Right. It's kind of crazy how I think Phil came out yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and he was saying that he is making the move, making the change.
Which is what we all figured. I mean, I read read the book about him, that where the quotes got pulled before the book came out and shown around to everybody, where Phil was kind of basically telling everybody, hey, I don't like the PGA Tour anymore. I'm going to go to this other tour, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing is you're looking at this tour and they're trying to compete. I had a friend ask, what is this whole entire tour about? Like, I have no idea what it's about. I don't watch golf. What is it about? And I compared it kind of to the XFL. But funded
way
by
more money.
a lot more money.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And that's why you look at a guy like Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson is probably the biggest name currently on that roster. Obviously, I don't know if Phil is playing in the first event or not as of right now. But at the same time, you're looking at it, and Dustin Johnson has got the most waves for joining and resigning from the PGA Tour. And people have to look at it this way. Kevin Na, okay, he'll go out there. He's a pretty good. I say pretty good golfer, like I'm Tiger Woods, but no, he's a pretty good golfer on the tour for the most part. He's getting up there in age, and he's gonna compete for the early tournaments in the season when the field's not as strong and different things like that. I would say he is a B list golfer.
Yeah, I'd
like,
agree with
people
that.
Know
I'd
it. People know his name. He's a good golfer. But he ain't Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I fully agree.
He's not Jordan Spieth when Jordan Spieth is on his game. He's not Justin.
He's not DJ.
Kind of
he's not when, yeah.
But the thing about DJ is everyone's like, man, why are you going over there? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? DJ is literally like 36, 37 years old or something like that. He's getting up there in age. He's made
$90 million or whatever for playing on the tour already. Like he's. Yeah.
He's been on the tour for 14 years.
Right.
14 years about. I thought I saw some today. Maybe he's on it for 12, but I saw he joined the PGA
Tour. Is he the
one
with the smoke show wife?
Yeah. Paulina Gretzky.
Yeah. That's who it is.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is he is not going to be competing in majors every single year like he usually does, because you see guys like JT. You see guys still Jordan Spieth after his lull for a few years. Rory's still pretty much in his prime for the most part, but you're also seeing other guys like Will Zalatoris is now coming. That guy is like 12 years old. I mean, you're seeing a lot of other guys on the PGA Tour that are going to be competing for majors. Majors make the most money. Majors have the biggest purses. Also, the FedEx Cup, if you win it, you win $10 million. The Saudi Tour is giving him $150 million dollars to go over there, and they're playing like what, like I don't know, six events or something like that.
Not to mention
it's literally a different format. You're playing 3 days. They have team events. They're doing like it's kind of like a Like, you ever seen the Premier League Wiffle, like the Premier Wiffle Ball League on TikTok and social media and stuff like that? It's that. It's basically the exact same as that compared to Major League Baseball.
Sure.
Major League Baseball, the peons are on the buses in you know, in AA and stuff like that. Premier League Wiffle has their own formats, their own this, their own that, and they're all doing their own thing. Now, obviously, the money's different situation.
Yeah.
But you're looking at it. Graham McDowell, major winner. Kevin Na, tournament winner. I think there's one other major winner I'm looking at. I think Charles Schwartzel, he's in there as well. Mm-hmm. There's other major winners in there, but all these guys are past their prime. DJ, the biggest name, obviously, in there. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. The difference is that he's not going to be competing every single year because he's getting older, and you know he has those lulls too with his putter and stuff like that. So you're looking at it and saying he can still hit the hell out of the ball and whatnot, but if his putter's not working for 6 months, all of a sudden he's a year older and all these other guys are hitting the ball 10 yards farther.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit different. I think that, you know, bias aside of whatever you want to say about each tour, he's making a ton of money, and for what, 3 years, 4 years, however long he plays in this tour, he's going to be making probably $200 million, which he can't do on the PGA
Tour. As if, with the XFL comparison, it's as if the XFL came in and said, you know, Carson Wentz, I'm going to give you a fat, like, you know, $150 million contract to come play in the XFL instead of the NFL. And my only thing, and then we'll move on, my only thing is I wonder what this will do to something like the Champions Tour, if this Saudi league is able to draw guys that are kind of at the end of their, you know, run at the PGA and would probably be transitioning to the Champions Tour, if they just go overseas, maybe make a little more money than they would on the Champions Tour, but still have the bigger names, you know, in the scene. I don't know. Obviously, it's not affected right now, but it just would be interesting to watch down the line what that could do when guys are weighing their options as far as possibly, you know, going into the Champions Tour instead.
Right. And then in the Champions Tour, the only difference for the Champions Tour is that you have to be 50.
Right.
Yes, you have guys like Phil Mickelson who can go out there and probably beat Graham McDowell. I mean, Phil Mickelson, it's not like his short game has just disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's still hitting bombs.
He's literally tailor-made to be a old-time golfer because his short game is the best, you know. And that's
right. Yeah, but like you're seeing, like you're saying, kind of like guys like Charles Schwartzel, who's getting up there. Like I said, major winners, tournament winners, these guys who have won before on the PGA Tour, who are getting up there in age, could that sway them and basically, you know, almost dissipate the entire Champions Tour? Maybe the Champions Tour lowers their age to 45. I mean, obviously that probably won't happen, but because you're seeing Phil go out there win the PGA Championship at 50. I just think that when you're looking at it, it's a different situation when it comes down to, is this league going to survive? Because right now they don't have any TV deals. You have to watch them on, I don't know, YouTube or something.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Random.
I mean, no one's going to watch them. No one. I mean, I guess the most diehard golf fans are going to figure out how to stream it. But the Saudis have the money. They could go, you know, hire a third party firm to put it all together for them, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of question marks in the air. But it's interesting just because this news broke within the last few days about all these various golfers leaving. So wanted to get the high school golf champion. I want you to win the coach of the year this upcoming year, Mike. That's my goal.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I mean, two-time district state champs in a row now. If I go in there and we win the district,
the expectations
like,
are pretty darn high. That's the problem. You don't want to go into – you want low expectations. You want to take the rebuild. That's what you want to be involved with.
Exactly.
Let's hit up the rewind machine. Chance to look back at the previous week in DC sports. And I'll tell you, not much to talk about because the only team that really played a game this week is the Washington Nationals. So I'll run through this real quick. 21-35 on the year, fifth place in the NL East. Monday, losing to the Mets 13-5. Fetty gives up six earned runs in an inning and a third. That's all he lasts. Cesar Hernandez goes 3-for-5 with an RBI. Tuesday, lost to the Mets 10-0. That's fun. Mets score 10 runs on 17 hits. Nats score 0 runs on 7 hits. Corbin gives up 7 earned runs in 4 and a third. Wednesday, it continues. Shutout for the second game in a row, losing 5-0 in this one. I was getting a call, so it stopped the music. And we are back in action. Hold on. This is live radio here. This is what happens. Rewind music. And there we go, everybody. Wednesday losing the Mets 5-0. Shout out second game in the row, as I said. Then we start the Red series. Did not start off great. 8-1 loss. Yoan Adon gives up 3 runs and 5 1/3. Josh Bell did homer in this one. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all wins for the Nats. 8-5, 10-8, and 5-4. The fun one was Friday. Lane Thomas hits 3 bombs in one game. That came out of nowhere. And then Josiah Gray threw a gem. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 9 Ks. Now, it is the Reds, who are terrible. Saturday, Soto hits 2 bombs. I did watch this one. The Nats break a 7-7 tie in the ninth. And then Sunday, beating the Reds 5-4. Corbin allows 3 earned runs over 6 innings. And the crazy one with this one was Keibert Ruiz picked off a runner at first base to end the game. It was a walk-off pickoff. Don't see that very often. Not much else to say. I mean, DC United enjoying their long break here. Their next game will be June 18th against the Chicago Fire. And then the Commanders news was just that Ryan Fitzpatrick did retire, announced his retirement, which I feel like we all kind of figured that was coming. I don't think it was like a big surprise. But, you know, what could have been in DC, you know? It could have been the Fitzpatrick era. We got a game and a half, whatever it was. I mean, we didn't get much of Ryan Fitzpatrick, did we?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole entire thing is I thought it was kind of funny how we had all this hype for like 5 weeks, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, Fitzpatrick is retired, you know, and they had a picture of him, I think, on ESPN in the WFT uniform. Right. It's like throw a picture of him playing. He only played a quarter for us, so it's not like...
Yeah,
like,
that's all it was a quarter. I mean, it's crazy to think about that. Unbelievable. You know, we're doing the off season, because I don't really want, there's not really much to talk about with Juan Soto. I mean, as far as Nats talk, I mean, there just always tends to be Juan Soto trade talks. We don't really have to get into it much. I think let's get into the more fun part of the program today is, of course, if you've been listening for a while now, it's our drafts. And we have another one in store for you today for the offseason. And today's draft category, you can see by the description of the episode, the Disney Pixar draft, animated only movies. And the reason why it's Disney Pixar is because obviously Pixar has a lot of great movies as well. They are owned by Disney. So it's Disney / Pixar. And we are doing animated movies only. So you're not going to get your... Mr. 3000, remember that one with Bernie Mac, right?
Yeah,
you're not
Mac.
Getting your Princess Diaries and some of these other ones, the Pirates of the Caribbean, all that. You're not getting the live action. That's going to be another time. Instead, we're going animated movies only. And they can be a...
Funny thing is, by the way, I was thinking when I was going through the list earlier today, I actually was looking at all the live action ones with real people, and... I was like, man, that's going to be on my list. That's going to be on my list. And all of a sudden I was like, man, I think I've made a list of like 15 already. It's like, you know, there's some movies in the world today that people don't understand. Like, this is a Disney production.
Right. Like, right.
This is not, you know, Warner Brothers or whatever the other ones are. I don't even know. But it's kind of crazy how many hits Disney has done in live action that aren't like, you know,
they're the kings, man. They're the kings.
You know,
they do everything. I mean, it's crazy.
The kings.
They are the kings of the game. But we are
Love
sticking
Walt.
With animated. There you go, like Walt. we're sticking with animated movies today. I guess it doesn't even matter. I was gonna say the only stipulation was no Disney original movies, but those are live action, so we're not doing those. But that would be a good names to throw in there too, maybe someday. So this will be the Disney Pixar draft. If you've heard our drafts before, the way it works is you pick our starting five. We'll go back and forth, taking turns, drafting our starting five, and then we will put up the graphic on the Twitter. Again, it's at the DC Crossover on Twitter. I'll put the graphic up, and you vote for the team you enjoy and like the best between Mike and I. We've drafted Thanksgiving dinners. We've drafted, like, didn't we do, like, a summertime, like, barbecue or something because it was like
we did summertime foods.
Summertime foods was a great one. We did best DC sports names. We've done fictional
backyard
athletes.
Backyard baseball
was the one that started it all. I feel like from the draft side,
a lot of hits,
a lot of great episodes, and I'm excited for this one going into
the off season. It's the off season
going into the draft, Mike. So you mentioned you're doing the research, doing the legwork. Are there a few movies, and obviously don't say them, are there a few movies that are kind of like, I got to get these? Like, these are my favorites. I got to get these.
There are, I would say, out of probably my top, at least my top two, I have to get one, which I will.
Yeah,
if we're doing it snake style.
No, I get to pick five, and then you get to pick five. That's how it works.
Yeah, right. I'm going to get stuck with the Rescuers or something. That's the thing. It's I would say my top three. I'm hoping to get two of them.
Right.
But at the same time, and I'm not going to disclose my top three. No. That's only for off air situations. So if you want me to talk to you about that at Cerrone16 on Twitter,
hit him up.
And if you have my phone number, don't text.
Don't text him ever. So, but here's the thing: the key is you got to have a balanced starting five here. That's the key with these drafts. Because look, I'm sure Mike and I, we can go back and forth and get our like top one, two, and those will be solid. The real intrigue with the draft is always who do you get in the four and five spots? That's what will make or break a draft, as Mike and I have discovered over the years doing these drafts. That is really where it is, because it's one thing to have the number one pick. That anybody can draft the number one. Anybody can go get John Wall. But where can you find Ole Petcheroff or whatever that guy's name that was the Wizards pick from back in the day. Remember that guy, Petcheroff? He was goddamn awful.
What's a good one we should do as well is Disney animated character basketball starting.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, almost like a Space Jam-esque where you're like, you're making your animated basketball team. Okay. Bank that in mind.
Put it in the doc.
All right. Yeah, I'll put it in the doc, everybody. So, all right, I'm going to go pull up a fictional I guess there's only two of us, so I was going to say a fictional die. But I'll do the finger bit. So, I am officially holding I almost said a finger. That would have given it away. Let me redo that and mix it up down underneath here. And all right, I'm holding one or two fingers beneath the table.
Two.
It is one. It is one. So and I don't cheat. I'm a man of honor here. So I will have the number one pick.
Man of honor.
I will have the number one pick here today. And I am on the clock. And I, this is the one. There's no argument in my eyes for what should be number one here. I guess there could be some argument. I could be dissuaded.
Okay.
But I got one that I had circled on my draft board. I've got a separate doc for my draft board. It's right there at the top. It is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. It is, of course, Toy Story. Toy Story is my number one.
Nice.
I just think that, of course, coming out in 1995, it was actually the first Pixar film. When they by that studio, it was the one that kind of started everything off. And what a movie to do that! I feel like it's an absolute classic. You've got obviously some tremendous names in there: Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Don Rickles. You've got iconic characters: Woody, Buzz. The toys. It's as far as like the products you could buy from the movie and things like that. Right. I had the Slinky Dog. Mr. Potato Head for sure. I had Rex as well. I had Woody, of course, Woody and Buzz. I was Buzz for Halloween 1 year. I feel like I have the picture at the ready to show you. While I search for that, Mike, I feel like there's just no, in my eyes, this is a true number one, worthy of a number one pick.
So my top overall movie was not Toy Story, but that was one of my top three. So, I've seen that picture.
There's
before.
Buzz with the, I had the wings.
Look at those wings.
It was one of those ones where actually the wings would fold in and you could press the chest piece and they would, boom, they would fly out. Like it was, it was pretty cool. Got a lot of ladies back then.
Man. Yeah. Jeez. All right. But I think honestly, Toy Story, I mean, it's a great.
So this
movie.
Was not on your top. Like you, this would, if you had the number one pick, you were not going Toy Story then.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's the thing though. Is the best Toy Story I think gimmick is I saw it. Maybe it was probably a couple years ago, and a friend of mine saw it a couple days ago, and it's where Buzz is stuck on someone's like bumper,
yeah,
and then Woody's just sitting there like dangling. and you, all of a sudden, like you're just driving down Route 28, and all of a sudden you look over and there's like a, you know, a Kia Sedona that's sitting there with Buzz and Woody on the back. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna incriminate myself. I took out my phone and I started recording.
Yeah,
and it's on my Snapchat somewhere. I gotta find
it. It's iconic.
It was great.
There's so many great moments in that, and there's like subtle jokes that you missed as a kid. That, like, yep. As an adult, you're like, oh, my God, that's, like, hilarious. I can't believe I didn't even notice that, you know, that sort of stuff.
What was Don Rickles? What character was he?
He was, I would assume, he played either maybe the pig or...
Ham? No, he wasn't Ham.
I feel like I should know this.
I'm trying to think of his voice. Because Rex was a famous comedian, if I'm not mistaken.
Don Rickles in Toy Story was Mr. Potato Head. Yeah, that's who it was.
Okay. Oh, he was.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, then again, this was 1995, so that's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the actors and stuff are people.
It was four.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. I mean, obviously, but then having the iconic, I mean, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in this was as the two stars, pretty unbelievable. I mean, obviously, both of them having tremendous careers. So yeah, and the film holds a 100% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And it
can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, so I think while I do agree there are others that I wouldn't be surprised if you pick next, I will say Toy Story is definitely my 1-1.
Okay, all right. So we talked about Toy Story enough.
Yeah.
So we got to go a little faster, I think. I haven't seen the time clock here. We should have a little clock on the side that has like a countdown for when you have to make your pick.
Yeah, true.
That's we don't get paid enough from the contender. So all right, here we go. So my number one pick, the pick is in.
Oh, oops, wrong one. There we go.
Oh.
Little guitar for you.
Wow, a good lead up to it.
Second pick in the draft.
So
here.
Second pick in the draft. This movie originated in 1992.
Okay.
My favorite Disney movie of all time that's animated,
right.
Not favorite of all time that's live action. Aladdin, 1992.
Wow.
The story of a poor boy in some country out in the Middle East or something like that.
This is a great description of this movie.
Some guy
in the Middle East.
He steals some bread, and his friend's a monkey.
Abu, right? Was the monkey?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you questioning?
I mean, it's been
that?
A long time since I've seen it. I mean, 1992, that's when I was born.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So but it's like he steals bread, a princess comes around, right. And all he wants to be, I mean, Robin Williams, you can't go wrong,
right.
Robin Williams.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, Gilbert Gottfried. And then, there's honestly, when you're looking at it, I don't really know any of the actors unless I look it up, except for Robin Williams.
No, there's not that many
Gottfried.
Ones that like we would know. Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing, is that movie, the storyline and the soundtrack was great for 1992.
Yeah, The Genie by Robin. Robin Williams' performance as the Genie is probably one of the best animated characters, and especially like voices of the characters and that sort of thing in any sort of animated movie ever. So yeah, I'm
right.
Definitely down with that.
It's just when you're looking at Aladdin, I just think the storyline, it being back when I mean, I was one when this movie came out in 1992, but it's, I mean, literally it's stand the test of time all the way through now that I'm 30 and stuff like that. I just think that the storyline, the graphics were not terrible for a Disney movie.
Sure.
Just opening up that stupid plastic square that had the VHS in there and popping it in and you're good. Now, apparently nowadays some kids are softer and they don't like seeing the lion or the tiger, I should say, that not Raja, the tiger that comes out of the sand.
Right.
Some kids get freaked out by that when
it is a little scary, I will say. Yeah.
Eh, come on now. Let's grow up a little bit. It's a Disney movie from 1982.
Right.
I mean, you got talking Stuart Little, you know, over there. You know, that doesn't scare you. That scares the crap out of me.
What's scary is when Will Smith played the genie in the updated version of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the Aladdin at the original. Not that one.
Absolutely.
But number one overall for me is Aladdin.
No, it's a great pick. It's a great pick. I do think you could have gotten this later. Aladdin was not really on my list, my short list. But I do think it is a good movie. A couple fun facts about Aladdin. Robin Williams improvised so much in the recording that they had 16 extra hours of material just from his improvisations. Also, one other Robin Williams thing here, he ad-libbed so many of his lines, so when they submitted for like best screenplay and things like that, they got the script rejected because they're like, he didn't say any of the words that were on the script because the guy would improv so much. So definitely a classic movie for sure.
That's how he does. And that's how a lot of the people in Hollywood that are really good at ad-libbing. I mean, I think Bradley Cooper's done it a bunch as Rocket Raccoon sometimes and stuff like that. I think that's the best part about being a voice actor sometimes is that you can just go off and do whatever you want. And there's one other live action that I'm thinking of that I forgot exactly who it was off the top of my head. I feel like it's maybe Between Two Ferns Zach Galifianakis. I think he does a lot of that stuff off the cuff, so no one is really ready for it.
No, it's a solid pick. I like it there. For my second pick and the third overall, I already know where I'm going with this one.
Hey, we're doing snake draft.
No, we abandoned the snake draft, didn't we?
Oh, we abandoned it? Okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. We used to do, like, the very first time we did snake, then we were like, why are we doing snake? We should just be going back and forth because then, like, one person getting two picks in a row. The fans can fact check me on that.
I got excited there for a second.
I apologize. So my second pick and the third overall is the 2003 Pixar film Finding Nemo. Nemo is my pick there. I think it is another one of those that's like so iconic. I've seen it. You got to have seen the movie like 15 times at this point. Albert Brooks, Ellen DeGeneres, Willem Dafoe, Jeffrey Rush, just some classic names there. Of course, Ellen as Dory. Everybody was doing Dory impressions and laughing about Dory when it first came out. Second highest grossing film of 2003 and was the highest grossing animated film at the time of its release. Nominated for 3 Academy Awards, and including winning one for Best Animated Feature, which was the first Pixar film to win a Oscar for Best Animated Feature. And I feel like this also, Finding Nemo came around when like DVDs were just starting to be like a bigger and bigger thing, I think. And I just remember, I mean, you had to have Finding Nemo on DVD. You watched it a billion times in a row. Classic moments in that one as well. It's a great movie for sure.
Not a bad choice at all. Obviously, you got some decent characters in there when it comes to the voice actors. The whole point is I love storylines, and I think storylines make a huge deal when it comes to a great movie. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions when it comes to animated movies, but Finding Nemo, obviously, I mean, it's in the title. You got to find
Nemo. Yeah, he's on the adventure. You got to find his son, man.
Yeah, so the little Finn.
Great moment when, Nemo with the turtle or somebody's talking to Nemo towards the end, and he's telling him all the stories he heard about what Marlin's doing to try to find him and stuff, and he fought a shark, and he did this and all this sort of stuff, and Nemo's, like, getting all hyped for his dad because he's like, that can't be my dad. My dad's a scaredy cat. It's like, no, dude. Your dad did all this crazy stuff. And, it's a classic. It's a classic.
Classic. All righty, so I'm a little torn between some picks that I have that are a good amount of years apart, but I'm gonna go with
that's
this.
The thing
one.
With
I got
this
my
draft
pick.
Is you have the ability to like go get some OGs, but then there's also some fantastic like in the mid 2000s animated movies too. So, all right, here we go. Pick is in.
The pick has a movie that has originated in 2001, so right after the millennium, right after the Backstreet Boys came out with their album. So the pick has a lot of famous voice actors and also famous actors in general in this one.
Right.
And one of these main characters has been in multiple Disney movies. So the pick is Monsters,
yeah,
Inc.
Yeah.
Monsters,
if,
Inc.
If
in
you
2001.
Didn't, if you didn't get Monsters, Inc. here, I was going to get Monsters, Inc. It's, it has to be in the top five, you know, in the picks of this draft and that sort of thing. Like, it's got to be there. John Goodman, Billy Crystal, Steve Buscemi. I mean, just absolute monsters. Randy Newman doing the music. You know, when Randy Newman's on the keys,
oh, yeah,
for a movie, it's going to be good. It's a great one. It's a great one. That was a great impression of a piano being played, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So, yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, Billy Crystal is so underrated when it comes to just comedy, because if you think about it, he was in other famous movies for Disney as well, and live action, animated, whatever it is. I just think that his humor is just so, it's just so, like, kind of under the radar, to the point where, like, you look at Monsters, Inc., even Monsters University, another movie. I don't think either of us are going to pick that one, but
no.
Monsters, Inc., it's funny because, like, you know, like, you see him go like this, like, all the time, and you can see, like, Mike Wazowski's hand motions going along with Billy Crystal's voice.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing. And John Goodman, perfect voice for Sully, you know, subtle, but, you know, rockabye baby type, you know, like, really nice. I could soothe you to sleep,
sure,
you know, by reading you a story. I wonder if he has any kids that guy read stories to. But anyway, so besides the point. But, like, John, I mean, the two famous guys, and like you said, some other guys, the Keys guy, whoever the hell you're talking about, Randy Newman or something, and whoever the hell that guy is. I don't even know. I was joking. Yeah, I mean, what a great movie. Great storyline.
Yeah.
Boo. Hey, trivia question. Do you know what Boo's real name is?
Boo Radley. I have no idea. I don't know.
It's Mary.
Oh, by the way, that is a good trivia question.
It's a little tidbit that no one notices, because when she's sitting there holding up pictures of Randall,
right,
to Sully, saying, like, this is my monster, right on the bottom corner,
oh,
one of them, it says Mary.
Yeah, that was, so Monsters, Inc. is, like, the perfect, especially at the time, and even to this day, where it was, like, you got maybe little cousins or younger siblings,
yep,
or something like that. It was a perfect movie where it's like, it's a rainy day, we can't go play outside, throw on Monsters, Inc., and, you know, yeah, they're going to get scared at some of, you know, when the monsters are acting a little scary or something like that, or like all that stuff. But in general, they're going to have a good time, because you got crazy stuff happening left and right in that movie. And yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, like, Billy Crystal and Goodman being together in those roles was fantastic. So, no, that,
yeah,
if you, awesome, hadn't taken Monsters, Inc., I was going to go there. So,
money.
Here's where things get interesting. As we've gone through our first two picks, now we get to the kind of the middle back half of the draft. This is where I'm interested to see where we both go here. So, I already know where I'm going to go, because I think,
okay,
it would feel weird to let this drop below five, because I feel like it is the OG of the OGs, and that is The Lion King. I think there's just no way,
man,
there's no way it would have lasted past where we are right now. 1994, of course, some all these have heavy hitters, man. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Matthew Broderick, James Earl Jones, yeah, Jeremy Irons in this, Nathan Lane, Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, there's so many incredible actors and actresses in this thing. But obviously, it's the OG. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
if you think of, when I think of, like, an old school animated movie, Lion King is always going to be the one that comes to top of mind. The music is absolutely unbelievable in this one. You know, obviously the characters are great. The songs have lasted. I mean, this came out, what did I say, in the 80s or whatever it came out?
Actually, the Aladdin was 92, Lion King was
94, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're almost at the 30-year anniversary of The Lion King. And, like, those songs still last to this day. I mean, people still,
yeah,
sing some of those songs and joking around and stuff.
Billy Crystal, my man.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So, you know, this is definitely a classic for me, and I feel like it would be a shame if we let it go below five. So,
well, the funny thing was, is you said that you were going to take Monsters, Inc. next if I didn't take it.
Right.
Well, I was going to take Lion,
yeah,
King,
yeah,
as well. So I was torn between Monsters, Inc. and Lion King, but I kind of had to sway from my childhood and kind of go with, you know, a newer age film that's kind of, you know, anyways, besides the point.
Yeah.
So, my next pick, man.
You know where you're going with this?
See, I think the next pick that I think that I'm going to have, I don't think that you would take them, just because I think it's going to be flying under the radar, and it might be my, you know, fifth overall.
Okay.
But I think this pick that I'm going to go with is more of a nostalgia reason, also with a great soundtrack. So the pick is in.
All right.
The pick
soundtracks
is in.
Are key for these animated movies a lot of the time, for sure.
Coming out in the year prior to my graduation from high school,
okay,
2008, the movie is Mulan.
Okay.
Mulan.
Great, great soundtrack.
Heavy hitter, Donny Osmond, money on the mic, as always. I think he's still singing in Vegas.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're looking at it, and Mulan is just, I mean, she sacrifices herself so her dad doesn't have to go to war with his gimp leg. And, you know, she goes and cuts her hair off and calls herself Ping, you know, which is weird. And, you know, you're looking at it and she just goes there. And for some reason, no one realizes she's a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it would have come up earlier, but hey, you know.
But literally, the one of the best Disney songs ever to come out in history was, I think it's Make a Man Out of You, I think is at the title. I don't know the exact title of it.
Let's get down to business.
To business.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's
yeah.
No, the soundtrack's killer. Because it's not even that just that one. There's a couple songs I feel like that are real solid in this one.
Yep. Eddie Murphy. Was Mushu, and I mean it's just the storyline in that that also, now I'm not going to say
that song
that
Reflection, remember, like when will my reflection, oh my god, some of those songs are just killing.
When will my reflection show,
there he is
who I am. Is that the right song?
Yeah, you know, that is, that's the Reflection song.
But the biggest thing is, I mean, then she saves the emperor. You know, and I don't know how someone survives an avalanche, but you know they did. And I always, you know, what tilted me is that, like, they're like they're on the mountain. They're like, let's go get him, like that small guy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, that little stump guy, and they say that, and they have like, they're like, get the rockets, and there's like seven people, like for their army. It's like, that's your reinforcements with seven people. Like, it just made no sense. But anyway, I love, like, some of, obviously you have some of those weird moments in those movies, but like just a storyline. And I think honestly, and I'm not going to try to act like I know this, but it kind of feels like to me, now that I'm an adult and I actually have adult money and I can actually have adult brain for the most part,
for the most part.
I could, you think about it. And I don't know if that was like the entry gateway into ethnicities or,
I think it's up there. I think it's gotta be. I mean,
Because now you're looking at movies like, you know, like Coco and Encanto and all these different movies that are dealing with different heritages, and I don't know what you want to call it.
No, I fully agree. Like, that's not a dumb take at all. I think you're completely right.
Right.
I think Mulan was like an introduction. I mean, especially when it came out in 98, like that, there wasn't really movies.
2008.
No. Mulan didn't come out in 2008.
Yeah, it did.
No, there's no way.
I looked it up.
1998. Mulan, 1998.
Well, I don't know, the website you gave me. I clicked on the movie. It said 2008. It didn't sound right when it was coming. When it was
maybe
coming
that
to
was
mind.
The other version of it or something.
No, the other version came out like three
You're
years
right.
ago.
I mean, I'm looking at the website I sent you. Mulan's not there in 2008. You know what you're probably looking at is it's number 208 on the list. No, it's not even that too. I don't know what you.
I don't know
at.
What it was. I saw it, but it was. I don't
I
know what
say,
it was.
I was like, man, 2008 seems a little early or late for this. No, 1998 was Mulan. So that even more to what you had said. Like, yeah, there were not movies depicting like other cultures like this. So that's a good point. All right, so we are both three picks in. Just to recap, Mike has Aladdin, Monsters, Inc., and Mulan. I have Toy Story, Finding Nemo, and Lion King. My fourth pick here will be, I thought about this for a bit, and I'm happy to take this. It's one of my, it's one of those movies that flies under the radar sometimes, I feel like, but I'm going to Bug's Life. 1998. You have, you know, Kevin Spacey, obviously, yeah, not a great name to have right now. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Hayden Panettiere, Dennis Leary. You know, you had another Randy Newman composed movie. You had that weird
Randy.
You had the weird feud where it was like A Bug's Life came out, and then that movie Ants came out at like the same time with like the same plot line.
That wasn't Disney, was it? Ants?
No, Ants was, I think it was created by like, I was trying to see right now, and I don't even see like who made DreamWorks. So that was DreamWorks, Ants was. And that had, like, Woody Allen and Sharon Stone and Sylvester Stallone and stuff. It's just kind of funny because they came out at the exact same time, pretty much. But A Bug's Life was definitely better. I get that it's not necessarily at the top of everybody's list, but I encourage you to go back and rewatch A Bug's Life. It's a lot better than you thought, than maybe like thinking back and that sort of thing. But it's really solid, especially you know, just like the bug's perspective of everything and the way the camera is and stuff. It's an interesting movie, and I'm happy to take it there in my fourth pick.
I mean, A Bug's Life isn't bad. It's not a bad movie, but when we look at a draft, I just think that there's. I mean, I never even had it on my list of 10 that I wrote down.
Well, that's your mistake.
So I don't know, man. A Bug's Life. His voice kind of. I don't know who it is. The voice of Flick is, but it just kind of annoys me a little bit sometimes. Now that I'm getting older. And he's like, Princess Ada. You know, it's like okay. Like, well, you know,
you don't have to come at Flick, all right?
Watch it be like some famous actor that I really like.
Flick? I mean, yeah, I remember the character.
I don't know which one it, you know, and then I don't even know. I mean, I just it's a good pick, but it's just like, for me, It's not my style.
Know, you gotta decide like, are you going with your heart? It's Dave Foley is Flick. He's from The Kids in the Hall. That's an improv thing. Don't worry about it. you have to go with your heart sometimes in these drafts, especially late. I love A Bug's Life. I'm going to Bug's Life.
Okay, you love A Bug's Life, and I don't like Ants either. Ants is a good. A Bug's Life and Ants are like. Kind of the same, but Bug's Life
is
better.
Bug's Life is
better. It's definitely better. So my pick is in, and man, the problem is with this, is my last five, I know which one I'm taking fifth. You know what? I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm going to kind of go a little newer, and honestly, I think this movie is a little bit underrated, but the comedic style in it, the story, some of the light humor.
Sure.
Do they have music in it? I don't know, man.
Oh, you got to make a pick here. That you're standing at the podium right now.
Okay, I'm at the podium. All right. So the pick is in, and the pick for my fourth pick is from 2010, and it is Tangled.
Oh,
I'm gonna go with Tangled.
You might just lost the draft.
Tangled.
Life. You're coming in with Tangled.
I was going to go with something
now,
else.
Now, Tangled. Okay. In all seriousness, Tangled is a good movie. I do enjoy it. Mandy Moore, Zachary Levi. You know, it's solid. I mean, it's based on Rapunzel. That's kind of where it comes from. The humor is solid. But I mean, I think you panicked here.
I
think this was a panic pick, and I'm worried for you that I think you might have just lost yourself the draft.
Well, it honestly, because like I said, I have one that's my, you know, lightning in a bottle fifth pick,
sure.
But it was coming down to between three movies, and I did panic a little bit, but I didn't really have any explanation for the other three movies. I just like
them. That's all right. Hey, look, Tangled again, solid movie, solid cast. If we did a draft of our top 100 movies ever, not movies ever, animated movies ever, would it make the list? Sure, maybe like around 74, 75. In this draft, you chose fourth. So, you know, I think we'll just move on. I don't think there's really much else to say about Tangled.
Moving on.
I think you dug your own grave there.
who lost the draft, Tangled or Bug's Life?
Oh, Bug's Life crushes Tangled. My final pick here is honestly one of my favorite Disney movies. It's not a Pixar movie. It is a Disney movie. Came out in 1997. It is Hercules.
Oh, what a nubs pick.
Hercules.
So nubs.
Danny DeVito, James Woods, Rip Torn, Tate Donovan. Classic cast. It's a fantastic story. Obviously, you know, you got to love Hercules. He wants to go up there and be with his father, Zeus, but he's still part human, so he's got to prove himself, and there's some terrific songs in there. Danny DeVito absolutely crushes it. It is one of my favorite movies of all time, honestly. I'd put this up there against anything.
You talk about Tangled being 74th in a top 100 animated movie. Come on,
Hercules.
Now. Hercules? Hercules wasn't even in the top 30 on the sites that I looked at.
Hercules is a fantastic movie. James Woods being the voice of Hades, so damn good in that one as well.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
And yeah, so I think this is the pick that I think people at home understand. You know, maybe they are a little bit higher class than my partner here. I don't know. maybe they understand the true, you know, Greek mythology of Hercules. But Hercules is my fifth and final pick here.
I'm glad people who know Greek mythology love Hercules the movie.
There you go. So that's my five. Let's go over to you here, and then we'll wrap things up because we got to get to your Sultan of Seltzer reviews here.
That's right. So I'm going to wrap it up here, folks. So my last pick in Lightning in a Bottle, I'm going old school, man.
Okay.
I'm going old school. 1961.
Jesus. Okay.
This was before my parents were even born.
Right.
1961, the original 101 Dalmatians. 101 okay. Dalmatians, great story about dogs. Who doesn't like a dog?
I'm fine with this pick.
And honestly, when you're looking at it, they made a remake, okay, with Glenn Close. They also had House in
there.
They also
did another remake with that Cruella movie, remember, with Emma Stone?
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, the original was made in 1961.
And then 96 was the other one, the Glenn Close one. And then,
You got, and in the original, or excuse me, the live action one, you had whatever the guy that plays House, he was
Hugh
in
Laurie.
There.
Hugh Laurie,
yeah. He was one of the bandits or whatever the hell they call
right,
him.
Right, I remember that. Okay, yeah, yeah.
But the original, though, it's just, you know, I love the narrator bit. So they have like a narrator, like, Perdita looking out over the garden. Yeah. You know, it's like they sit there. It's just.
How do you
soothing.
Remember the names of the dogs?
Perdita and
Pongo.
Yeah. My favorite one is Rolly. He loves to eat.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have. I'm sure they have a lot of other ones. They have 101 for goodness sake. But it's like literally that one is just a lightning in the bottle because it's so. It's just like a. It's kind of like a date night type movie. Like if it's on at the Alamo Theater and you're like, hey, let's go see a Disney movie at the Alamo. Let's go out, get something to eat or whatever. Then go to the Alamo, have a couple drinks and just chill and watch a nostalgic movie. 101 Dalmatians is going to possibly win this draft. It's going to bring me back from Tangled.
It definitely brings you back from Tangled. And I don't have anything to like make fun of you about it because I do think it's a classic. I think classic villain. We may do a villains draft at some point. Cruella de Vil.
Ooh, nice.
Cruella de Vil is got to be up there and is one of the top villains for sure. She was scary as hell, man.
Cruella, underrated movie. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it with Emma Stone.
Yeah. No, so that's a solid pick there. That rounds out your five. Again, Mike's five picks here. He's got Aladdin, Monsters, Inc., Mulan, Tangled, and 101 Dalmatians. I went with Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Lion King, A Bug's Life, and Hercules. And again, with this draft, each of us in our top threes are real solid. That four and five, that's where we'll let the people decide. You'll be able to vote on Twitter at the DC Crossover. Throw your hair out the tower window because you're a big Tangled fan.
Hey, so honorable mentions, though. I have Wall-E, Up, and The Incredibles.
All solid. Yeah, we picked everybody on my board, so I don't even have anybody really left.
You went with Tangled?
No, well, yeah, not Tangled. Tangled was certainly not on my board, but everybody else was. heck, I even thought Brave was better than Tangled.
I didn't even see Brave. I don't like her. I don't like her hair. I don't like her look.
Okay, all right. Inside Out, low key, great movie too. Not in this realm, but still like pretty solid. Cars, another possible. You know, and then they just don't, as much as I know people love like Luca and Frozen and Soul and all that stuff, nothing really stands up to some of those Pixar, that run of Pixar movies is unbelievable to think when you think about it. So
like a 15-year run.
That's crazy. All right, let's get into, before we do our final lap, it is time for the Sultan to appear. Speaking of Aladdin. We do, of course. I don't have, again, oops, there's a,
oh,
there's
boy.
John. That's the theme song for the segment right there. but yeah, I since I've been sick all week, I didn't have a chance to put together any music for the Sultan here. But it is his time to give his Sultan of Seltzer reviews. As the Sultan has rated a couple seltzers so far. He did Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade. That was a 7.6 out of 10. The Smirnoff Pink Lemonade, 7.4 out of 10. And now today, Sultan, what do we have in store for the people?
So, the Sultan, and
by the way, if you are watching, you should watch on YouTube if you aren't right now, because Mike is wearing his Sultan hat, or I'm sure you'll see this on the I almost said the contender, on TikTok, DC Crossover Podcast.
Yes, so last week I said I needed a hat, and to be non-offensive, I went with one of my number one picks, Aladdin.
Yeah, it makes sense. If I had chosen Aladdin, this whole bit wouldn't have worked. So you chose Aladdin draft. You got it.
Thank God. Thank God for Jafar. Another villain. Mark it up. So the first review with the official Sultan hat, maybe next week when we have the official Sultan music with the Sultan hat, maybe that'll be the really first one official. So the Truly that I bought, it's a Truly brand. Obviously, a lot of these brands are now coming out with so many different varieties of their seltzers. This one is a poolside pack.
Ooh.
Limited edition.
I like that.
So there are four different poolsides. A lot of words in this title. So this one is the Truly Kiwi Mojito Style.
Interesting. I've not had this. I've definitely not had this. Truly Kiwi Mojito Style. The Sultan is now taking a look at the can. He is now drinking the can again. He rates on things like appeal, taste, and then he rates overall. Let me see the can in the camera for a second here. Okay, so you got the kiwi there. I see that at the top. Okay. It's Truly always makes a solid looking can for sure.
The poolside pack is always nice because, well, I say always, I've only had it once.
Yeah.
It's nice because the box is this color. It's like a light baby blue kind of cool box, and it has like tropical things.
I always like the Truly boxes because you got like the red box for the punch pack. You got the black box for the lemonade packs.
Snowflakes for the holidays.
Yeah.
Whatever. So this one's the Kiwi Mojito Style. So
let me know when you're close to giving your grade because I have to do the drum.
Oh, yeah, I got you. So the appeal is... it's pretty nice. I mean, Truly always, solid. Like you said, has a nice can. The lemonades are black cans, and they're powerful.
I love the
lemonade. Because they're the best. This one's more of like a, hey, I'm on my pool float.
Yeah, you look like a young mom that, you know, she just wants to get away from the family a bit. She's floating around in the local pool and, you know, sipping on her Truly Kiwi Mojito Style.
Right. So the can is definitely really nice. The taste, let me do one more sip.
Yeah, do another sip here. Sultan's taking a second sip.
Sorry. Wow, that actually is pretty good.
Ooh.
I'm not going to lie.
Ooh, the Sultan is a little taken aback by the taste. You could say, yeah, he's getting, looks pretty thrilled. Ooh.
That one was... That one wasn't
the whole crowd went, oh, because he made a face there that did not bode well for Truly Kiwi Mojito.
Hold on, I gotta take another
one. One more. This is getting a little okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
You're gonna drink the whole can. All right.
I usually do.
Everything will taste good after a couple of those.
That's right. All right. So I have the official rate overall for the Truly Kiwi Mojito Style Poolside Pack Limited Edition. All in one breath. It is a 6.9
from the Sultan.
Not great, not great, not bad. It was a great first couple sips, but then after you get it, I feel like I'm drinking like some medicine kind of
taste. Ooh, that's
taste.
Not good. That is
aftertaste.
Not good.
It was like, at first, it was going to be like an 8.1. I was like, man, it's actually really good. And then it went down a whole point because it was like weird aftertaste.
That's the lowest score the Sultan has rated one of these seltzers at this point, 6.9. So right now it's been getting you got to stop because you're just gonna throw up. I'm not a big kiwi guy in anything. I'm not a big mojito guy either. So like I think I'd probably be around where you are with your score. My guess is somewhere in the sixes. Now, Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango, Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade, the leader in the clubhouse at 7.6 out of 10. That is your Sultan of Seltzer review. Let's hit up the final lap. Chance to give some quick analysis on some big stories in sports. I would like you to keep the hat on, by the way. 90 seconds.
I was going to ask that.
Here we go. Colorado. The Avalanche sweep the Oilers in the Western Final. Mike, sweep. At this stage of the playoffs, don't see that happen too much.
It's kind of unbelievable how the last two rounds have played out because of the sole fact that there's been sweeps, there's been blowouts. I mean, two of their games out of the four, they scored like over double-digit goals. It was crazy.
The Rams make Aaron Donald the highest-paid non-QB in the NFL.
Now, I don't know if you want to pay a guy like that who pays that position that much money, but at the same time, he's producing every single year, so it's not like his production is going to downfall because he's making more money.
Came
now.
Up big in the Super Bowl. The Bruins fire their head coach.
A lot of head coaches are getting fired nowadays, especially in baseball, hockey. Yeah. Whatever you want to say, a lot of head coaches are getting fired. The Bruins, tasty job. I wonder who they're going to pick up, one of those vets. Maybe our friend from New York.
Barry Trotz. Joe Maddon fired today as well, as you mentioned, the MLB. Yeah. And we'll see where he ends up. The Warriors even up the NBA Finals. Kind of a weird finals. You had, game one kind of go one way, lopsided towards the end. You had game two. Obviously, the Warriors exploded in the fourth quarter, third quarter in that one. Where do you think Game 3 goes at this point, Mike? I mean, there's no team has really shown an advantage yet.
Well, it's also kind of crazy because they're traveling between both cities. I mean, yeah. You couldn't get two farther cities than Boston, Massachusetts, and, I don't know, San Francisco, I guess, consider that, not Golden State, California. It's kind of crazy. I think that's a big factor as well. But you're looking at this series, and it's kind of two different styles of play. I mean, you got a lot of great shooters for the Warriors, and the Celtics play some pretty good defense for the most part, and they like low-scoring games. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end up, but it would be nice to see Steph win one because I'm not a big Celtics guy.
If the Warriors win Game 3, they win the whole series for sure. That is without a doubt. We'll do a quick little round of trivia here. It is a segment we do every week where we give our...
I like this jewel.
Yeah, that's like that's a lot of power in that jewel, I think. Like, if I stare at it too long, I'm going to turn to stone or something.
okay, Medusa.
I'm going to give you a trivia question. This is a Detroit sports trivia question. Mike gives me a DC sports trivia question. I'm going to edit this question a bit to not make it so easy. What linebacker who earned multiple Super Bowl rings with his new team after the Lions traded him in 2016. Lions trade a linebacker in 2016. He wins multiple rings. Who is that linebacker? I don't want to give away the team. I don't want to give how many rings and that sort of thing because I just think it would be too easy.
So you're saying 2017 to 2022,
yes.
Or 2021.
Yeah. Yep. Multiple Super Bowl wins. It was a linebacker. He was traded from Detroit to this new team.
So the question is the player, right?
The player. Yeah.
I know this.
Very well known. Well-known guy.
Well, I'm trying to think of the team that won multiple Super Bowls in that time frame. Not the Bucks, not the Rams. I don't think the Patriots won multiple in those. Tell me the team.
The Patriots.
Okay. That was the only guess I was going to have for
multiple.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man. I want to say Dante.
I know who you're talking about. That's not who it is. No.
Jeez Louise.
It's a three name name. Like it, like the
his, I know I, yeah. Like Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Benjamin St.
No,
Juice.
Okay. Yeah. That's who it is actually. There you go.
When you tell me I'm going to know it.
Kyle Van Noy.
Noy.
Yes, won two.
Jeez, I didn't know he was with the Lions.
Yeah. Great. That's a great trade, wasn't it? Trade him to the Patriots. He wins yeah. Two of the next three Super Bowls. Great for him. What do you got for DC trivia here, Mike? For me to get
so wrong. The yeah, right. So the DC sports trivia question of the week After agreeing to a 5-year deal in 2002, how many seasons did Steve Spurrier serve as the Redskins head coach before resigning his post?
This is going to be a complete guess for me here.
Think of how many coaches they've had since 2002, last 20 years.
A zillion.
Horny for Zorny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that?
I do. Because that was when I was I in high school or middle school for Zorn? I feel like I might have been in middle school. I remember I got one of those shirts. And then, like, I wore it to school, and the teachers were like, don't ever wear that shirt again.
Don't ever wear
horny
that.
Horny on it. And I was like, all right. Yeah, I'm horny for Zorny. What do you want me to say? I'm going to say he lasted 2 years.
Oh, only two.
Only two.
Only two. Close. Close, but no cigar.
Career. All right. And to end today's episode, we'll throw out our Moneyline picks. I'm catching up to Mike now. I mean, again, keep in mind, we've both been terrible this round. But I am now 1 point behind Mike. So I'm hopefully I can overtake him this week. We'll see. My lock of the week will be the Tampa Bay Lightning. -1.5 against the Rangers here. And then my dog. I just think when you've got some of the best shooters on the planet, I'm going to choose you, even if you're a dog, in the NBA Finals. Warriors +3.5 versus Boston. Those are my picks of the week here on the Money Line.
I choose you, Pikachu. So Mike's Pokemon picks
drafts.
Of the week.
Pokemon draft could get interesting.
Not a bad one. All I know, maybe 10. But actually, know more than that.
You know a decent amount. I mean, I think we would, and I definitely know a decent amount. I mean, we'd stick with the original 100.
Yeah, the original. I'm not going to go with the thousandth Pokemon. Right. By the way, there's a funny story real quick. I actually was walking out of school the other day, and I had one of my students that was sitting there trading Pokemon cards. And I said, hey, I'll trade you a Charizard for a Snorlax. And the kid was like, wait, you really got one? And I was like, and I opened my pockets up out of my basketball shorts. I was like, not today. he was trying to tell me when to bring it. And I was like, I'm just joking. Man. I'm joking. All right. So here are my picks of the week for the Sultan. Lock Dodgers money line at San Fran on Friday. Walker Buehler's pitching against Logan Webb. Going to be a great low scoring game. Possibly we'll see. Both ERAs are practically the same as of this point, but I'm just going to go with the Dodgers. I love my boy Trey Turner. I'm going to go with him. Maybe he'll steal a base or two this game. Who knows? Out there in McCovey Cove, baby. My dog, Tampa Bay, +145 money line in game 5. Obviously, game 4 is tonight as we record this on Tuesday, an off night for us. But on game 5, I'm going with Tampa Bay because who knows what this next game is going to be. Maybe the Rangers win, and then obviously the Tampa Bay Lightning are on the ropes. But I think either way, I think they can have this game. I think they're a heavy underdog. That's some pretty good plus money for a Tampa Bay team. It's still a good team. Vasilevsky's, I think he's just given up way too many goals, and he's definitely going to possibly come back and try to get this series back in Tampa Bay's favor. So Tampa Bay +145 money line as of right now in game number 5.
Those are our picks. Again, bet responsibly. And hope you enjoyed another episode of the off-season here, the DC crossover. Again, bringing you some non-sports content, of course, as you enjoy your summer. The school year is almost done. Final week of the school year here locally. And then it's going to be a nice summertime extravaganza here on the show. Again, follow the Twitter at the DC crossover. Tomorrow we'll be putting up the graphic for your votes, and you'll have multiple days to get your votes in for your favorite draft, either Mike or my team for the Disney Pixar draft. Follow the TikTok.
I'll even put it on the TikTok, by the way. I'll put it on the TikTok.
Put it on the TikTok. Again, that is DC Crossover Podcast on TikTok. Follow Mike on Twitter as well at Cerrone16. Subscribe to the show, rate and review, all that good stuff we always say. And besides that, everybody, we will see you next week. This has been another episode of the DC Crossover. The Sultan.